The death toll in Gaza rises to more than 31,000 as the U.S.-Israeli genocide rages. Most of those killed are women and children. Lebanon's resistance fighters target Israeli-occupied territories with dozens of rockets in retaliation for the killing of four members of the same family. The U.S. president's bid to build a port for Gaza and distance himself from Netanyahu are regarded as a whitewashing campaign. Good to have you with us. Now, more than 5 months into the Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip, the regime is pushing its deadly onslaught. Latest air raids hit an area west of Khan Yunis, killing at least 15 people and injuring dozens more. The area is used by displaced people to set up tents. The Israeli military targeted several locations in the Gaza Strip. One of them was an airstrike hitting a 12-story residential tower in the southern city of Rafah, making dozens of families homeless. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, Israeli forces committed 8 massacres against Palestinian families in the past day, killing at least 85 civilians and wounding 130 others. The overall death toll since October 7th has risen to more than 31,000, mostly women and children. Thousands more are also missing and feared dead. Muti Abu Musabeh was with us a short while ago with more details regarding the latest Israeli attacks in the Gaza Strip.
The Israeli genocide is still persistent here in the Gaza Strip with more strikes and more bloodshed and more destruction, actually. Let's begin from Deir al-Balah city and the central area of Gaza Strip generally. In Deir al-Balah city, two residential buildings were destroyed by those airstrikes in Al-Birka neighborhood, which is located in the southern part of Deir al-Balah city. At least 5 Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed while dozens were injured. In addition to that, the Israeli warplanes also carried out several fire pellets against the southern part of Deir al-Balah city. When it comes to Al-Nusayrat refugee camp, at least 3 residential buildings were completely destroyed by the Israeli warplanes, in addition to multiple stores and warehouses. They were completely destroyed, and a big fire engulfed those stores and warehouses in Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, the Israeli occupation forces committed an appalling massacre by targeting the tents of the displaced Palestinians in Al-Mawasi area, which is located, as you know, between Deir al-Balah city and Khan Yunis city, and it was claimed by the Israeli occupation forces as a safe area. Now the Israeli occupation forces directly target that area, killing at least 37 Palestinian civilians of those displaced Palestinians who sought refuge in that area.
Tensions remain high along Lebanon's southern border. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has fired a barrage of rockets into northern occupied territories. Hezbollah says that it hit the Maran settlements with dozens of Katyusha rockets. The attack was in support of Palestinian people and the resistance in Gaza and retaliation for Israeli raids on Lebanese civilians. In the regime's latest attacks on southern Lebanon, 5 civilians, including 4 members of the same family, were killed. Hezbollah and Israel have been engaged in clashes since the regime began its genocidal war on Gaza in early October. Now, moving on, open contradiction as U.S. President Joe Biden draws red lines for Israel on the Gaza onslaught. At the same time, he pledges not to abandon support for Tel Aviv. Biden told MSNBC that an Israeli incursion into Rafah in southern Gaza Strip would be his red line. But the U.S. president added that he has no red lines concerning the delivery of weapons to the regime. Now, the Biden administration has given Israel unconditional support in its 5-month genocide in Gaza. That includes using the veto power at the U.N. Security Council 3 times to block calls for an end to the genocide. Washington claims that this is to allow Tel Aviv to counter Hamas, but facts on the ground indicate Washington's complicity in the Israeli regime's killing of more than 31,000 Palestinians. pro-Palestine ralliers in Amsterdam have slammed the visit by the Israeli president to the Dutch capital city. The pro-Palestine campaigners gathered outside the Holocaust Museum, where Isaac Herzog attended the opening ceremony. They chanted slogans against Israel's genocidal war against the besieged Gaza, calling for the boycott of the regime. They also waved Palestinian flags, urging an end to the occupation of Palestinian lands. Pro-Palestine rallies have also been held in other countries across the globe.
More than 5 months of major demonstrations, and they're as energized as ever. Hundreds of thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters from across the UK marching to the American embassy to deliver a message.
Shame on you, Joe Biden, shame on you.
That message is much for the US president as for the UK government.
The majority of people want a ceasefire now, and it's not even a big ask. What are they asking? For humanity and stop killing innocent children and people.
On the stage near the American embassy, Welsh singer Charlotte Church combines Welsh and Arabic words for a song of solidarity, followed by an all-woman cast of speakers marking the International Women's Day and the resilience of Palestinian women. As ever, it's an eclectic mix of groups and organizations, out in great numbers in defiance of attempts by the government to criminalize these overwhelmingly peaceful demonstrations.
We're here to say to the government that we aren't going to be stopped. These aren't hate marches. And we have Jewish blocs, we have Jewish people who march with us in solidarity and who march with us and say, not in their name.
The war on Gaza and the UK's support for it has deeply polarized British society. And that's already manifesting itself in the way people are voting. A case in point, the by-elections in Rochdale, Greater Manchester in late February, which handed veteran pro-Palestine campaigner George Galloway of the Workers' Party of Britain a landslide victory against the major party candidates.
But we know there's a whole body of people for whom issues of international justice and rights and Britain's position in the world and whether it shows respect for human rights and international law matter. And there are certain constituencies where the issue of does Britain support and protect the rights of the Palestinian people is of particular resonance.
This was the fifth national demonstration of the year, and organizers say there will be more.
While the civilians in Gaza say they feel that their plight is being ignored, the millions of people here and around the world are saying that they are making sure through their protests that the Palestinians know that their cries are being heard. Saipur is up, London.
If there was any concern that pro-Palestinians in France were starting to lose interest in the five-month-long attempted genocide of Gaza by Israel, one of the nation's largest demonstrations since the start of the invasion put that idea to rest. Many thousands converged in the capital for a passionate denunciation of President Emmanuel Macron, the leaders of the Pan-European Project, and all of Israel's war supporters across the West.
If France must stay in Europe, then Europe must respect our demands, and we demand that they stop protecting the terrorist state of Israel. Hamas is not a terrorist group. They are a resistance group, and the United Nations refuse to label them terrorists. Palestinians have the right to resist, to exist, and to be free.
In what many say is an illustration of the West's deadly hypocrisy, at least five children were killed by airdropped food aid from Western nations and their allies.
This week, more than 200 members of European Union Parliament called for an arms embargo on Israel. They said that by remaining silent on Gaza, Europe has no credibility to speak on Russia's actions in Ukraine. Germany now provides 28% of Israel's military imports.
Israeli settler attacks in the West Bank have almost tripled since October to 9 per day. Israeli troops continue to open fire on starving Palestinians seeking food aid and also on United Nations troops in Lebanon. Some 31,000 Gazans have been killed and over 72,000 Gazans wounded, all leaving marchers in disbelief that the West continues to support Israel without conditions or consequences.
It's scandalous. France is charged with defending international law, and it even has a United Nations Council veto to do so, but it only defends Israel instead. I am not asking France to bomb Tel Aviv. I am asking them to uphold humanity's laws with very simple sanctions that could be put in place on Tel Aviv immediately.
Even with the holy month of Ramadan starting next week, Israel has rejected yet another plan for a ceasefire. Many say it's a new low for Tel Aviv.
One must respect the humanity of others, and normally during Ramadan there's a ceasefire to allow people to live their religion in peace. And yet Israel wants to keep murdering babies by starvation during Ramadan? It's scandalous and unacceptable. There must be a ceasefire.
Paris claimed that their forces have destroyed four Yemeni drones in the Gulf of Aden that were heading towards a European Union naval operation, as Israel's invasion edges closer to a larger regional conflict. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
A genocide is taking place in Gaza amid international silence. 15 Italian lawmakers who have recently visited the Rafah border in southern Gaza say an international reaction to avoid the aggravation of a humanitarian catastrophe in Rafah is desperately needed. They had left Italy for Egypt earlier this week with the goal to provide the Italian government with a testimony of the tragedy the Palestinians are experiencing as a result of Israel's crimes. Here is what they have to say about their experience.
Israel's cruel actions in Gaza are based on a clear genocidal intent, refusing to allow water, food, medicine, and humanitarian supplies is equivalent to exterminating an entire population. Palestine must be immediately recognized as a state, and a reconstruction plan is urgently needed.
We saw thousands of trucks waiting at the border with Rafah, as farming is ravaging Gaza. Trucks are not allowed to go through because Israel is stopping them. We are certain that a humanitarian catastrophe is unfolding.
We have met Palestinian kids with their legs amputated in an Italian hospital in Cairo as Israel continues to commit crimes against humanity in Gaza. There is only one person who should be held accountable for the situation there, Netanyahu and his regime.
So far, the Italian government has unrelentingly sided with the Israeli regime. This, despite hundreds of pro-Palestine demonstrations having been held across Italy over the past months. Meanwhile, on Saturday, a new demonstration was organized here in Rome by a string of humanitarian organizations, charities, and unions calling for an immediate end to Israel's genocide in Gaza. The initiative is also calling on Italian institutions to protect the right to freedom of assembly and freedom of expression and opinion in Italy.
It is essential to protect and promote dissenting voices. The use of force by our authorities will not stop the course of history. Upholding the rule of law is the only way to ensure peace.
On Saturday, Rome was once again flooded by tens of thousands of people from across the country calling on the international community to hold Israel accountable for its systematic violations under international law and to continue supporting the United Nations agency aiding Palestinian refugees, UNRWA. A demonstration in solidarity with Palestinians was also held in Milan. Max Civili, Rome.
Supporters of Palestine gathered outside South Korea's Seoul Central Mosque to demand a change in policy toward Israel following news of another massacre of innocent civilians in war-torn Gaza.
The unconditional support of Israel should stop, and that we need to start refunding UNRWA and letting aid trucks come into Gaza.
Palestinians are now starving as the U.S. continues sending Israel ammunition, despite the protests of many Americans.
It's really immoral to be sending weapons to state or country that is killing people in cold blood and is committing a genocide.
Not enough aid is reaching Gaza, with deliveries chaotic and even deadly.
Opening the Rafah crossing and allowing relief supplies into Gaza is simply the bare minimum the Egyptian government can do.
South Korea expressed only deep concern.
Even though information is going all over the world showing that countless women and children are being massacred in the Gaza Strip and Palestine, they remain silent. And we also condemn the silence of these governments.
Many suggest both Israeli and U.S. leaders share responsibility as the bloodshed in Gaza ever mounts. South Korea's alliance with the United States and its reliance on oil states, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE impact Seoul's policies. South Korea and Israel have engaged in millions of dollars of arms trade. Seoul also abstained from a UN vote condemning Israel over its Gaza genocide, seeking some kind of middle ground.
This one of dozens of protests here since Israel's genocide began focused on the desperate need to get aid to Palestinians sheltering in Rafah and to open the Egyptian border. Frank Smith, Seoul.
And with that report, we come to the end of this newscast. Thank you for being with us.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 10th, 2024. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs at IRIB English Radio you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special. And here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. Anand Mohan Brain from India has sent us reception report. And from Finland, we've received a reception report from Juha Vayer, one of our old and regular listeners. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving electronic QSL cards. And here we've received an email from Anand Mohan Bain from India, as he sent us a piece of reception report. Juha Vayer from Finland has sent us a piece of email. And from Turkey, we've received an email from Volkan Atasevier. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Before I go back to your emails and letters, I just wanted to tell you that in this edition of Listeners Special, I'm going to talk about a very special place in Sistan and Balochistan, a tourist attraction in this province. In the past, there were big cities in the world, which used to be very advanced places for life and work. They were so advanced that no one could ever imagine that once they become empty of people. One of these cities is the ancient Shahre Sukhte in southeastern Iran, in Sistan and Balochistan province, which archaeologists consider it as the world's first city in terms of urban texture, population, and urban planning. The civilization of Shahre Sukhte is one of the wonders of the ancient world. And for your information, Shahre Sukhte in English means the burnt city. So, the archaeological findings in this area testify to the emergence of the first human settlements in eastern Iran. Shahre Sukhte, meaning burnt city, which dates back to more than 5,000 years ago, is one of the heritages of Iran. It is located near Zabol Road to Zahedan in Sistan and Balochistan province, which is located in southeastern Iran. The city was built in 3200 BC, and people were living in four eras between 3200 to 1800 BC. The total area of the city is 280 hectares and is divided into residential, central, and industrial area, as well as cemetery and monuments. So, we will get back to the information about Shahre Sukhte in Sistan and Balochistan province, but for the time being, let's see what Juha Vayer from Finland says. Juha Vayer is one of our old and regular listeners who says, "Dear friends, I have a great pleasure to inform you that I have heard your broadcasting on SW band. I enclosed my reception report as an attachment with this email. I hope so much that you could answer me, and if it's possible, send a verification if you find that report is correct." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Juha Vayer from Finland. Thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. An electronic QSL will be sent to you as verification to this email. Juha Vayer from Finland, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best. So after a short break, I will be back with you. And you just heard a piece of music from Sistan and Balochistan province, which I think it was very beautiful. And guess what? The residential area of the city, I mean Shahr-e Sukhte, located in Sistan and Balochistan province, is 80 hectares where people lived in this part at that time. There were various industries such as textile, masonry, jewelry, etc. in this city, which made it one of the most advanced cities in the world. 12 kinds of fabric are found among the ruins of the Shahr-e Sukhte that indicate the textile industry of the city. It's so great! The world's first known artificial eyeball with two holes in both sides and a golden thread to hold it in place has been unearthed from the skeleton of a woman's body in Shahr-e Sukhte. There was a well-managed pottery system in the city for water supply and sewage. Shahr-e Sukhte was registered in the UNESCO World Heritage List in June 2014. And that's really great. Archaeologists have found traces of cloth in the graves located in Shahr-e Sukhte. These fabrics were used either for wrapping the dead or in the form of underlays and covers. Many times ago. In these graves, many pottery objects have been discovered. One of these well-known pottery artifacts is a pottery vessel with a drawing of a goat and a tree. Giving the vessel a spin, one would see a goat leaping to snatch leaves from a tree. This may be recognized as the first animation movie in the world. Great. So let's see what Anand Mohan Bain from India says. Anand Mohan Bain is one of our old and regular listeners from India who says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am Anand Mohan Bain, an old listener of yours. I regularly listen to the programs and send the reception reports. The radio sometimes sounds good, but sometimes the reception is very bad. I hope my reception report will be useful for your technicians." Salam, Anand Mohan, and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran. Many thanks for writing to us. We welcome your views about the quality of our programs because your views actually help us promote the quality of the broadcast. So you said the radio sometimes sounds good, but sometimes the reception is very bad. So we inform our engineers and technicians about this trouble, and we hope that they will fix it very soon. So Anand Mohan Bain from India, please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and we were talking about the Shahr-e Sukhte in Sistan and Balochistan province. You might have asked yourself why this is called the Burnt City, the Shahr-e Sukhte. Researchers say Shahr-e Sukhte used to be an industry which had a lot of furnaces. Therefore, ash was found due to the activity of industrial furnaces around the city. And when archaeologists first spotted ash in this city, came to the idea to call this city Shahr-e Sukhte, literally the burnt city. Actually, the real name of this city is not clear yet. The wonders of Shahr-e Sukhte are a lot, and researchers are still studying about this ancient city. One of the most significant conclusions derived from these findings is that the inhabitants of Shahr-e Sukhte had been really civilized and peace-seeking people. Just imagine, it happened many years ago in Iran. Yes, our beautiful Iran is, of course, full of wonders and beauties. So, let's see what Volkan Atasevir from Turkey says. "Dear IRIB English Radio, I am a computer engineer, writer, poet, and collector. I'm also an amateur radio operator and a radio listener. Radio communication and shortwave radio also contribute to my professional knowledge. I want a QSL card from your radio station. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm grateful to you, Volkan from Turkey, for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. So, you're a computer engineer and writer, poet and collector. Nice job. You're very talented. We wish you luck, Volkan Atasevir from Turkey. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Well, time tells me we have to wrap up this edition of Listeners Special, but before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm appreciations and gratitude to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Juha Vair from Finland, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Anand Mohan Bain from India, and Volkan Atasevir from Turkey. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Brothers and sisters, if you can join me with looking at your Qur'ans at Surah number 8, Surah Anfal. So let's follow along. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They ask you, yes, alunaka, they ask you, anil anfal. What are the anfal? We're going to talk about that. What are the anfal? God then says, قُلْ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Anfal, whatever they are, we'll find out what they are for Allah and the Messenger. So what does this verse mean? Anfal, brothers and sisters, can loosely be described as the spoils of war, if we want to translate it. Certain spoils of war. But when you look at a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, our definition becomes more specific. Anfal, I'm going to mention 9 things that are counted as anfal. Okay. So one of them, bismillah, I'll just run this off, right? But keep this in mind, because remember I said there was another question. Why is it that some people are so afraid of political Islam? And that part, we're going to go back to the verse, because we're going to see the verse says, these are for Allah and the Messenger. But what does the Messenger mean? Okay. So, anfal are spoils of war. It's supposed to be at the disposal. So these are going to be property or wealth that belongs to all of the Muslims, all of mankind. It's supposed to be used for all of mankind. But it has to be at the disposal of the Prophet. Disposal of the Prophet. Of course, Islam is a system that has solutions for all times. So after the Prophet, it's the Imam. Later, after the Imam, in the time of the occultation, it's the Wali. Back to the verse. So, one was certain types of spoils of war. Number two, the underground resources of the world. So gold, silver, diamonds. So imagine, right? Beaches and major rivers, so the Nile, the Amazon. What else? Abandoned towns and villages that have become ghost towns. What else? Wastelands that need to be developed in order for people to make use of them. What else? Jungles, forests. What else? The oceans. What else? Mountaintops, right? The natural marshes. So, let's go back to our verse. These things are things that belong to all of mankind. It's not just supposed to be for a particular group of the oil cartel. It's not supposed to be for them, right? These anfal are for who? Lillah, for Allah. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have any need of oil, of beaches, of marshes? God, does he need it? No. God has no needs. God is ghani. It means it's for God's servants, Allah's people, Allah's creation. So, anybody could just say, you know, I'm one of Allah's servants. Why not me? Better than anybody else. Allah says, no, it's for Rasul. It's for the messenger. The messenger in his time, because this is revealed, they say, at the time of the Battle of Badr. He's the one who makes sure that this wealth, which belongs to all of the people of the world, is being used in the way that God said. So imagine if the oil reserves of the world were used to fight poverty. Imagine if diamonds were used, instead of it just being one family. Right? Just imagine these kind of things that have been listed over here. If they were at the disposal of a just person who thought about Allah's creation, who wanted to make sure that there's no poor person on the face of the earth, what would that do? Why would some of these cartels be very angry at political Islam? Afraid of it. Especially if you tell them, there's one time you say, well, if the Imam returns, then it belongs to the Imam. Then they could say, okay, well, still, I don't like the thought, but if he returns. If you say there's a system in place now, then that creates problem and hatred, right? Because the person who's in charge is very merciful when it comes to Allah's servants. He's not going to just let a certain group of people benefit. The hadith says this about the person who is the just ruler. Inna sultan al-adil. So the just ruler, بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْوَالِدِ الرَّحِيمِ, is like the merciful father. So imagine someone who's looking out for the interests of each and every person. There should be no poor person on the earth, and I'm looking out for them and I care for them. What else though? Who's also absolutely fearless and can't be intimidated. You can't buy him out. You can't threaten him. He's not scared of anything. We're going to cover this later in the book, where our relationship with God is going to make us people who are unafraid of anything. But I'll just give you one example of why it is that they would have so much fear and respect for this man. So one is knowing that this all belongs to the faqih right now. And he's thinking that also this man is very merciful. He's thinking about the human beings. And as an addition, you can't intimidate him. I don't know how many of you remember 9/11 and the state of the world after 9/11 happened. I remember. Do you remember, brothers and sisters, how George Bush came out? So the Yazid of the time came out and he was angry. He divided the world into two camps. America is hurting, and you are either with us or you're with the terrorist. And grown men were shaking. Countries. Either with us or the terrorists. And I remember sitting in Iran and I'm listening to the, so we're all waiting to see what's going to happen. This is World War III. At this time, the leader spoke. When the leader spoke, it was interesting the words that he chose. Inshallah, you can read the actual words that the leader used. But basically, the message was this. That's so arrogant. How dare you? How cheeky. America's hurting. Yes, you've been humiliated. Yes, your security's been damaged. But then, now we're going to divide the world up into two camps. Either you're with us or you're against, you're with the terrorists. He was like, that doesn't make any sense. He said, the world's worst terrorists, like Israel, are with you. The worst terrorists in the world are with you. He said, and it also the opposite also isn't true. Everybody who's against you is with the terrorists. He was like, we're not with you, and we're not with the terrorists. So if you can continue with your verse, the verse says this, Fattaqullah. So have taqwa of God. Be wary of Allah. Right? Back to our verse. Fattaqullah wa aslihu dhata baynikum. And reform matters amongst yourselves. Another instruction from God. One of them, we talked about taqwa before, what taqwa actually means. But the other idea is amongst yourselves, not bickering, picking fights, not being forgiving. Aslihu dhata baynikum.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud Qayyumun Rauf Saburun Majid Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad ya mu'mini sallu alayhi.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
More than 30,000 women and children have been martyred in the Zionist regime's war on Gaza since October 7, 2023. International criticism of the Zionist regime targeting residential areas has been growing as the war grinds on. In December, South Africa accused the Zionist regime of genocide in Gaza in a case filed at the International Court of Justice. More and more children have been starving to death as famine gradually takes hold. 2-month-old Mahmoud Fatouh starved to death last week next door to one of the richest countries in the world. He's one of the now 16 children who have died of hunger in the Gaza Strip. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Al Jazeera English wrote, his voice breaking, Hossein Jaber recalls how his 4-year-old daughter was killed by the Zionist regime forces before his eyes. The photographer, who works with the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, was trying to flee Gaza City on December 5th to get his family to safety when his daughter's life was ended. Jaber said as he stood amid massive destruction with his left arm in a cast and held together with external screws, this area was empty. He was hit in the same attack that killed his daughter. He said, there was no one on this road here except the building's residents who were walking out about to leave towards the west as ordered by the army, including my family. I was waiting over there. He gestured to his right, waiting for them. There were women, children, and elderly folks, and you could see them clear as day. His family had been sheltering in a building for 4 days with friends. Jaber had been staying elsewhere for work until he drove over to evacuate them. He said, describing later on social media how an Israeli tank sprayed the area with bullets. Salama was first. She got to the crossroads with her sister Sarah running behind her towards me, and suddenly intense gunfire broke out. I saw Salama get hit in the neck before my eyes. She was writhing with pain but kept running somehow. I ran to her to embrace her and carry her to the car while my wife and children Omar and Sarah kept running. Jaber is not sure when he was hit in the arm. He still cannot comprehend what happened, he said, pointing overhead in the direction of a buzzing sound and saying there had been surveillance aircraft overhead the whole time. He said, it was apparent to those aircraft that these were civilians fleeing the building and heading westward as per the instructions of the Zionist regime army. We posed no threat. Salome was killed while Sarah, her 9-year-old sister, miraculously survived death when a bullet penetrated her jacket. It went in one side and out the other. Millimeters separated her from death. My 3-year-old son, Omar, still asks me where Salome is. He doesn't understand how she could have been with him walking down the road and now she's just gone. Jaber walks to stand in front of the Boragh school, where his family had told him the Zionist regime tanks had moved in after the refugees staying there had fled. He said, the school was east of the building where my family was. That's why I asked them to exit to the west to stay away from the direction where the tanks were. Walking over to stand where he could point out the building, which had been hit with artillery shells every day they were there. Inside the building, Jaber stands in a dark, burnt-out stairwell, telling Al Jazeera English that this is where his family stayed, crowding into the center of the building to escape the continuous bombing that targeted the building from all sides. Last week, it was estimated that more than 30,000 women and children were martyred in the Zionist regime's war on Gaza. International criticism of the Zionist regime targeting residential areas has been growing as the war grinds on. In December, South Africa accused the Zionist regime of genocide in Gaza in a case filed at the International Court of Justice. More and more children have been starving to death as famine gradually takes hold. 2-month-old Mahmoud Fatouh starved to death recently next door to the countries around it. He is one of the now 16 children who have died of hunger in Gaza. According to the United Nations, one child in every six below the age of two is already acutely malnourished. Today, all Jaber's family has of Salama are the digital images of her on his mobile phone. The videos are a testament to joy. Salama can be seen dancing for her father's camera, proudly reading a poem or smiling on a beach. Her father wrote, "Salama's image will remain present in my heart and mind. Salama, my middle daughter, intelligent, affectionate, forever beloved." Salama's fifth birthday would have been on February 4th.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by the Commander-in-Chief of Iran's Armed Forces, Imam Khamenei. Martyr Soleimani revived the resistance front and its strengthening must continue. December 31st, 2023. People had seen martyr Qasem Soleimani's presence in the mountains of Syria. his fearlessness, and him moving toward danger. This is very important, but the main significance is that these trips, his presence, and these efforts were able to revive and strengthen the resistance front. May God exalt his rank. He pursued this work with forethought, with resourcefulness, with wisdom, with a moral behavior, with energy, and with endless effort. And this was and is very important. I hope that this movement continues by the will of God. Of course, Mr. Qani, commander of the IRGC Quds Force, is truly and honestly moving very well. Praise God, his endeavors are very good. This path of strengthening the resistance front, which Martyr Soleimani was very active in and very outstanding at, should be continued by the will of God.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
May God protect all of you and his wife as well. She also played a role in Martyr Soleimani's orientation and his motivation. About 20 or maybe 23 or 24 years ago, we prayed in this yard along with approximately 20 of the IRGC commanders. I then sat on the stairs and delivered a very warm, appealing speech. I hadn't planned it beforehand. It was Almighty God speaking. It was my voice, but God's words. It was a very extraordinary meeting, and it had a great impact. After the meeting, a few of those people came to me, and one of them was Haj Qasim. He came and quoted a sentence from her, his wife, and said, "My wife says this." It was similar to the things I had said in that meeting. I noticed how influential a wife is. In other words, this woman had influenced Haj Qasim. So, she also shares in Haj Qasim's efforts. Enduring the deprivations they faced, beside the family's deprivations, such as the absence of a husband and a father, is very important. It is very important to tolerate such things, and she tolerated them. May God reward you, bless you, and protect all of you. May you be successful and assisted by God, God willing.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. I wanna thank you for bringing me home.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.